If you're passionate about sports and looking for a thrill, you need to check out the freshly redesigned XBet. They're calling it the last sports book you'll ever join. I've been playing on XBet, and they really do have it all. Whether odds on basketball, combat sports, or even betting on the next Bitcoin dip. And the best part is, when you win, you get paid quick. But it's not just about placing bets. XBet is a whole experience. They support athletes and sports shows just like ours, and they give back to the community with tons of free bets and cash prize contests. Did I mention they also have a casino now? Spin the slots, play some roulette, or even try your luck at the live tables, all from a mobile platform that lets you enjoy the fun on the go. Whether you're super into sports betting or curious about trying it out, you need a site that makes it fun and easy. That's why you've got to check out XBet. Sign up today using the promo code TOOLSHED and get a generous bonus of up to $1,000 on your first deposit. That's right, promo code TOOLSHED for free cash bonus to kickstart your journey. With so many great UFC cards on the horizon and the fact that baseball season is in full swing, there's never been a better time to play. Make your next bet, XBet.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into episode 231 of the Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross. I'm your host, Eric Cross, and with me, as usual, is my 80-grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, how are you on this fine Monday evening?
I'm pretty good. It's a hot day today, but it's a good one, so cannot complain. You know, there was minimal minor league ball, so I was able to catch up on a little bit today. You know, always feel behind to an extent, trying to keep up with every level of baseball, but we only had Complex and DSL today, so... That was at least a positive, able to catch up a little bit. So
right.
Yeah, how about you?
Yeah, Monday all feels like a slight breather, you know, after, you know, weekend action. And yeah, you only got rookie ball on Monday. So yeah, it does feel like a slight breather until, you know, the rest of the week. But yeah, it was a good weekend. Saw Wilkerman Gonzalez yesterday through the raindrops and the thunder and lightning in the distance. It was actually pretty cool. I was hoping that when I was videoing him that I'd get like a lightning bolt in the distance and for a really cool pick, but it didn't happen. Yeah. Lightning was kind of like off to like left center, out of my camera range a little bit. So, but yeah, a good weekend, and yeah, it was pretty good weather. We're finally getting a decent summer here in Maine the last week or so. Finally, it was funny though. I was talking with a coworker of mine earlier about if we were to move out of the state of Maine, and I mentioned like down in your area, that'd be really fun. You know, it's better weather and, you know, more baseball. But I was like, oh man, I don't think I could handle your summers like consistently, like for like a vacation, sure. But it's the humidity, man. Like when we go to Arizona, like, you know, gets 80s, 90s. I'm like, all right, I can deal with that. But like, when it's just, you can't breathe when you're outside. I mean, I know y'all are used to it, but
yeah,
man.
Yeah. It doesn't bother me, so it's. I guess you just get used to it. I've lived here,
I'm sure,
my whole life. So
I mean, kind of like on the flip side with us in the winter, you know, like we're used to the frigid temperatures and the snow and all that crap. So yeah, it's definitely territorial. But man, like, I don't know if I'd rather deal with that or deal with like 90, 100 and humidity. I don't know. It's I mean, you can't play baseball in the snow. So well, you could, but you know. Probably tear an ACL trying, but
probably.
Anyway, we got a fun episode lined up today. We are going to give our all undervalued prospect teams. Each of us will be giving going position by position. We'll go one each for every infield position, two or three outfielders, depending on where we are for time, and a hand two pitchers as well. So we're talking like 16 to 20 players in this episode that we just feel are undervalued for one reason or another, and make, you know, pretty good dynasty targets now or in the off season if your trade deadline's already passed, but just good targets in general. But before we get into the show, the usual housekeeping. You can find us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I'm at EricCross04. Show is at Toolshed Pod. If you enjoy the podcast, please rate and review. And make sure to check out both of our personal platforms, thedynastydugout.com and toolshedfantasy.com. Four more work from each of us, including all of our Dynasty, Prospect, and FYPD rankings, plus daily write-ups and much, much more. But let's get right into it, Chris, starting with catcher. And there was actually a good amount of players that I thought fit this bill. And your guy here is one I also considered, coming from the American League East.
Yeah, so this is catcher's interesting. I think we're in this landscape now where, honestly, I think catchers are getting more undervalued because there's more talent. Unless you're in a really deep league, I feel like most people are pretty content with their major league catcher. It's like, you know, we were talking about that in my Discord about, you know, what could you trade JT Realmuto for in Dynasty right now? And you're probably not getting as much as you want just from the standpoint of, like, there's, if you're in a 12-team league, like, there's 12 pretty solid catchers out there. And like you said, Realmuto hasn't been all that great this year. So you have to factor that in. And it's the same with prospects, I think, too. It's, you know, there's sometimes guys get really hyped, but, you know, there's few like Adley Rutschman type. So in the midst of that, I do think some guys have been a bit undervalued. And my guy is Samuel Basalo, who's had a really spectacular year. He actually just turned 19 yesterday. So he spent pretty much the full season as an 18-year-old, and he's looked good. I mean, he's bumped to high A, and the numbers have trended downward a hair, but it doesn't particularly worry me right now. I mean, you kind of look, and he's kind of struggled to begin every level, and then he kind of takes off. But in single A, he had 12 home runs, stole 7 bases, and had 299, 384, 503 slash. Since he got promoted, it's only 48 plate appearances, 11 games, but he's sitting just 214, 313 OBP. So, you know, it's a bit concerning, but he's still looking pretty solid overall. I mean, he ran a 149 WRC plus in single A, which I think is pretty impressive. There's a lot of raw power in this skill set. He's got a great frame. You know, I think there's a better feel to hit than most have given him credit for. He's shown pretty good contact skills all year, and he's running like a 73% contact rate, which is pretty solid considering the age and where he is. And yeah, it's not as great since he's moved up, but you know, I'm gonna give him a chance. He's still young, but I do think it's created a good buying opportunity on Basalo at least. And you can get him at a pretty reasonable cost. If you need a catcher, like, he's somebody that I'd bet on. So Samuel Basalo is my underrated catcher.
Yeah, I almost went with Basalo too. Like, he's definitely floating up my rankings. Love the bat, and yeah, I think he's still undervalued. And just another good Baltimore Orioles prospect. What a surprise there! I'm gonna go to Milwaukee with Jefferson Cairo, who actually was the number two ranked Cairo catching prospect for me. Now the number one ahead of Edgar a little bit, still pretty close. But you know, Cairo is one of those prospects that, you know, he doesn't have like the sexy profile. Like you look at this profile and I feel the term, you know, better in real life than fantasy probably comes to your mind. And that's probably true. You know, he looks like he's going to be a very good real life catcher. He's a great defender, strong arm. Like this is a guy that no doubt sticks behind the plate, quick pop times, can throw up base runners. Like this is a guy that's going to be like a long-term catcher in this league. But at the same time, I think the bat does get slept on a little bit here. And again, not a flashy profile, but this year he's hitting 283, 368 OBP, 482 slug, 14 home runs in 68 games for AA Biloxi in the Southern League. And this just as a 20-year-old catcher in that league, which is pretty impressive right there as well. Yeah, I think there's in, you know, at least an average to above average hit tool here, makes solid contact, uses the entire field, can draw walks, keeps the K rate in check. And I think the power starting to tick up a little bit. Is he going to be like a 25 home run bat? No. Could he be 15 to 20 home runs over a full year of catching? Absolutely. With a pretty solid average and OBP to go along with it. So I think, you know, maybe he's never going to be a top 10 fantasy catcher, but you know, maybe a guy that's like a high end C2 in two catcher formats and maybe even a back end C1. I mean, I wouldn't put that past him. Again, not sexy, but this is a solid profile that I think is going to have some decent fantasy value and a guy that you can plug in behind a catcher for years to come with no real risk of him moving off the position. So that always factors in. Everyone always asks, oh, they can stay behind the plate long term. Absolutely. Cairo is staying behind the plate. No doubt about that in my mind. So Cairo is my undervalued catching prospect target right now. Back over to Chris for first base.
Well, first base is interesting. It falls off pretty sharp when we look at the prospects, at least at the position. And so I ultimately went with Abimelech Ortiz. He is in the Texas Rangers org. And yeah, I feel like he's gotten some hype because he's hit 26 home runs this year and 360 plate appearances. He's hit for good average. He's not striking out a ton. Granted, he doesn't walk a ton either, but he's putting a lot of balls in play. And I think there's a lot of comments basically saying, like, he can't, big boy, like, he can't sustain this. He's 6 foot 230. There is a lot of pressure on the bat because he is a first base only. Like, he's not going to play anywhere else. And, you know, there's nowhere else for him to really fit. And that's, I won't say it's a bit concerning because the bat has played and been good, but he's actually ran pretty respectable contact rates all season. Yeah, he struck out nearly 28% of the time, but the contact rates in the passable range of 72.5%. Like that's where I want somebody to be. Below 70%, not good. But Ortiz just has massive, massive power from the left side. Saw him several times this year when Hickory has been down here in Greenville, and he's just done nothing but mash. And you look, and he's almost gotten better since he moved to high A from single A. And 21 years old, it was like, okay, he was doing this in single A. Now show me what he can do. And he bumped to high A, and he's probably going to bump to double A by season's end, if I had to guess, because he's just mashing. There's nothing else to say here. There needs a pure masher running a near 1,000 OPS. And he's doing it with respectable contact rate. So Abimelech Ortiz, I still think it's just being written off because they're like, okay, like he can't sustain this. Like he's big power. Okay, there's not much else there. But I really do think there's enough contact and enough awareness of breaking balls for Ortiz to be a successful hitter. And with that big power, like you can live if he's hitting 250 at the major league level, because I think there's easy 30 home run pop here.
Yeah, I was trying to pull up the tweet I'd had on him about probably a month ago. I think it was, maybe it helped if I spelled his name right. There we go. I can't find the tweet for some reason, but it was something that was just really good for hitting stats, some combination of, I think, OBP and power or something. I can't remember what it was, but if I recall correctly, the list was just him and Kobe Mayo. So that's where I was trying to go with that. I couldn't find the tweet, but yeah, he's someone that I even undervalued earlier in the season in my own rankings and corrected that as the season went along, because yeah, the bat is very, very impressive. At my first base spot, I'm going with Tyler Locklear. Tweeted about him a couple times recently and wrote him up over on my Patreon as well. I mean, I truly think that Locklear is a top 25 player or top 25 prospect right now. If he didn't miss like 2 months of action earlier in the year, just came back about a, you know, week and a half ago or so. And, you know, he has a kind of a similar profile to guys that we've already bumped up into that range, you know, guys like, you know, and not exactly, I'm not exactly comping him, but like these guys that don't have a ton of speed, but this, the bats are just really good. You know, putting the hit and power combination, and you know, guys like Colt Keith, Kobe Mayo, and I'm not saying he's as good as those guys, but I think Locklear could be, you know, pushing top 20 right now. I think this is a plus power bat, and he's shown that consistently throughout his time in at VCU and so far in the minor leagues in the Seattle organization. And I think he's proven to be a better pure hitter than people gave him credit for. I think he could hit 260 plus, maybe 270, somewhere in that range. He doesn't strike out much at all. K rate is just about 20% this year. Walk rate is over 10%. He's even running a little bit here, so I don't think he's going to be a zero there either. He's below average speed, but maybe a guy that gives you 5, 6, 7 steals. I mean, anything's possible in today's day and age where everyone's running. But I think this, the combination of hit and power plus the approach he's shown already, you know, still only 22 years old in high A, probably gets the bump to double A pretty soon here. Probably already would be there if it wasn't for the time missed. And I think that time missed is keeping his value in check. I think the perceived value on him is still, you know, probably more in the top 75 range or something like that. And I think he's a guy that I already have him in my top 30 right now. And I think there's a chance he's top 20 by the end of the season. So I think this is a good time to buy Locklear. I think his value is only going to go up from here, and then the price tag as well. So Locklear is my first base prospect here. And Chris, back to you for second base.
This is a completely unsexy profile in Justin Foscue. This is a player that most aren't going to look at and say like, yeah, I absolutely want that guy for fantasy purposes. Right now, he's clearly blocked. I was hoping that he would be part of a trade that sent him out of Texas. But, you know, Foscue plays second base. He hits the ball extremely well. And you look at the AAA numbers, just kind of like, okay, like, you know, he's had 11 home runs. He's stolen 10 bases. He's slashing 262, 385, 440. That's not great, but everything under the hood suggests that we have a pretty good player here in Justin Foscue. And I don't think most realize that. Like, I've had him top 100 pretty much all season. And that's far, far, far from consensus. But we're looking at a player that's making contact on pitches in the zone 93% of the time. That's elite. His overall contact rate of 84%. That's high, high end there. He doesn't chase much at all. He walks at a high, he's walking way more than he strikes out. Just as I mentioned, he's not chasing. And ultimately, he is not striking out either. So he's not whiffing. So the low strikeout rates are encouraging to see. And he hits the ball pretty hard.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You look at his barrel rate, and it's 3%, which is majorly discouraging. And that's why I think the launch angle, this Justin Foscue is a perfect example why launch angle is pretty useless as an individual, like freestanding stat, because Justin Foscue has an ideal launch angle of 13 degrees. Like, that's very ideal, but the ground ball rate is high. There's not a lot of line drive. It's 23% line drive, which is fine. That's a solid number, but you want to see more, less ground balls and more fly balls, but he does hit the ball hard. He's above MLB average for 90th percentile exit velocity. You know, he's probably about at MLB average for average exit velocity. So this profile is pretty interesting because it's a major contact profile with some sneaky pop in this frame too. And I think that while he's not going to be flashy or sexy, like, this is somebody that's going to provide for a while as a fantasy contributor and probably never really get the respect that they deserve.
Yeah, I even wrote that up in my Prospects to Stash article, which I think the one I did right before the deadline, that there was like a handful of players that I just really were hoping would get traded into better situations for playing time. And Foscue was one of them. He's obviously pretty much blocked in that infield there in Texas for the foreseeable future. So, yeah, he's a guy too. I've had, I think, just outside my top 100 for, like, he's kind of been sitting there consistently. Like, right now, I have him, let's see, where do I have him right now? I have him, 112 right now. He's been kind of chilling in that range for a while now. And I think some prospect fatigue is setting in for Foscue, and I mean that makes him a pretty good value right now. And but speaking of prospect fatigue, Chris, have you ever seen a bigger case of prospect fatigue than with this next guy I'm going to talk about, Michael Bush? I feel like everyone is just like not giving up on him, but actually maybe giving up on him because the Dodgers just don't seem to want to play him. They acquired like several middle infielders just to not play him this year, and he just continues to mash in the upper minors. Like he's now, it was a handful of days ago, he surpassed the 1,500 plate appearance threshold combined between Double A and Triple A. Like he got the Double A in, so he's all of 2021 in Double A. 2022 was a combination of the two, and then he's been Triple A all of this year outside of his time in the major leagues with the Dodgers, his very brief time. But this guy just continues to mash, and he's become a better pure hitter. He's hitting for the highest average of his career. Yeah, he's in the PCL, but this is a guy that has always shown at least decent enough contact skills to hit 260 plus, and the power is legit. I think this is a 25-30 homer bat, somewhere in that range. A guy that always will be, you know, a bit more valuable in OBP formats, and he's always run high walk rates, dating back to his days at UNC in college, where he had more walks than Ks for his career there. This guy has a walk rate well over 10%, more in the 15% range so far in the minor leagues. So with Bush, the bat is there. I mean, there's some questions about is he second base long term? Is he third? He's actually played a little bit more third this year, played a little bit of first. I think there's still some questions about like where does he fit in defensively long term, especially with the Dodgers, who are loaded and don't seem to want to give him a chance to play. Even when Vargas got demoted, they still didn't go to Michael Bush, which was, I think, a little bit of a head scratcher there. Maybe they just don't see him as their second baseman in the future. I don't know. But I'm still willing to take a chance on the bat, you know, and eventually him getting a chance to play, whether it's with the Dodgers or if he gets traded this offseason. That definitely is a possibility. I'm fingers crossed on that. But I just want to see him before I write him off. I want to see him get a chance to actually play regularly and showcase what he can do at the plate, as I think there's going to be a pretty good bat here. Like, again, not going to run much at all if, you know, he will provide any speed, but a guy that can give you a solid average, a you know, better OBP, and 25 plus home runs annually. And if that's from second base, you'll take that. Absolutely. So capitalize on that severe case of prospect fatigue and go get some Michael Bush. So something is a pretty solid bat there in the making. Just needs the chance. All right, Chris, who you got at the hot corner?
All right. So this one was kind of tough, but I settled on Zach DiZinzo with the Astros. I feel like he's had a pretty underrated year after starting out super hot. Everybody kind of went crazy on him like pretty early. Like we saw him just be scorching hot. Everybody's like, oh my gosh, like this guy's, you know, breaking out. And then the Double A numbers have been like fine, but he really hasn't gotten the love I think that he deserves. When you look at like the underlying data and you see like the elite hard hit rates that he's putting up, like the EVs are absolutely insane on Zach DiZinzo. And also I think that his contact skills are a bit underrated. So everybody kind of looks at him as like a poor hitter with tools, but I actually think that there's, you know, more here than people are willing to give him credit for. So Zach DiZinzo making contact at about a 72% rate this year, which again, it's like fringy, but it's not like that's like average. Minor league average is right around 72%. So he's in a fine range and he's pretty aggressive. So in the midst of being aggressive and making that kind of contact, I'd say he's pretty good. And there's like easy plus or better power. It hasn't fully materialized in games yet. It's been kind of interesting to kind of see, like, he's actually running a pretty high like infield fly ball rate in Double A. So that's something to kind of keep an eye on because he's not hitting the ball on the ground like too much. But you kind of look at the profile and you'd like to see a little more production. But I do think that could come. And we're looking at a really good athlete that can steal bases, that has plenty of power. So I'm pretty in on Zach DiZinzo, despite what we've seen like performance wise in Double A. And I think that he's a pretty good buy and you can get him for cheap and he could end up taking off.
Yeah, the one issue I have with the Zenzo is just the name. It's hard to say for me. I don't know why. Like, when there's two Z's in the name, but they're not consecutive Z's, like, that just messes me up. Like, it's a tongue twister for me. I don't know why. It's probably just me. I'm probably the only one that has an issue with that name, but the Zenzo, I have to, like, slow down when I say that name. But
I've heard, like, DeCenzo. Like, people have said all kind of things. There's some interesting.
Interesting.
Like, yeah, I don't know where the CH comes from, but.
I don't know. Well, you're talking to someone that a New Englander where, you know, where the Red Sox AAA team is in a town called Worcester, and it's pronounced like rooster, but with a W instead of an R. Yeah. And but it's spelled Worcester, which is the most like asinine spelling of a town name I've ever heard. Like, imagine being like a little kid growing up in Massachusetts. Like, R makes an R sound, C makes a K sound, RC makes an O sound. It's just anyway, I'm getting off topic here. But anyway, all right, my hot corner guy from the FYPD that I just absolutely love. Every time I watch this guy hit and dig into the profile even more. And I just love him even more, and that's Brock Wilkin. Milwaukee, I know, Chris, I'm sure you can echo this. Milwaukee absolutely nailed this draft, like top to bottom. They did a phenomenal job. If you're a Milwaukee Brewers fan, you should be happy with the haul that the Brewers got here. And Wilkin obviously was their first overall selection, 18th overall out of Wake Forest. And Chris, you saw him live at Wake Forest, didn't you, a little bit in college?
Yeah, when they came to Clemson, I've seen him.
Yeah, that's what I thought, yeah. But you know, Wilkin, obviously, massive, massive raw power. Like, that's what he's been known for a while now. Had 23 home runs. Let's go back to his first year. 17 home runs in 47 games, first year at Wake Forest as a 19-year-old. Then 23 in 60 games. And then finished that up with 31 in 66 games his final year. But really started showing that he was a better pure hitter. Like, he made improvements. Contact rates went up. Walk rate went up, almost doubled his walk rate, and cut the K rate a good amount. He walked more than he struck out in that final year at Wake Forest, 69 to 58 in 320 plate appearances. And yeah, it's a small sample size so far in the minors, but he's walking almost as much as he struck out as well, 14 to 15. Has a couple home runs already in 69 plate appearances, most of that coming with high A. Wisconsin, very, obviously this is a potential 35, 40 home run bat. And if these like improvements that he's shown over the last, 8 months or so now since the collegiate season started back in the spring, like if these are like legit tangible improvements that stick moving forward, like the upside of everything clicks, I think it's like an Austin Riley type player. I know that's pretty lofty. I get that. And I hate doing it, but it just makes sense with him. He, like, the power is absolutely there. Be 35 plus home runs annually. And he's proving to be a better hitter than he was in his first and second years at Wake Forest. So if he can just hit like 270 or so with a good OBP and plenty of power as a middle of the order bat and all that comes with that, driving plenty of runs, probably score a bunch of runs as well. I know we can't predict that, obviously, but I think there's a chance that this is a really good, like really impactful in three categories, decent enough in the average, won't hurt you there. Obviously, he's not going to run much at all. Only had one steal last year, so don't count on that. But it's a really good four-category guy that I think is just going to shoot up rankings. That's why I have him top 10 for FYPD. And, heck, I might even put him as high as, like, 5 or 6 by the time, the offseason comes around if he keeps hitting like this. So I'm just enamored with Brock Wilkin, and he continues to move up my rankings every time I update them. So go out, and obviously you can't get him right now just picking him up or anything like that. You have to go through FYPD, but don't sleep on him in FYPD. I think he's a top 10 guy for sure. And I wonder if he falls out of the top 10 in some FYPD. So if you can get him past like pick 6, 7, 8 or so, if you're sitting in that 9, 10, 11, 12 range, I love him there. Absolutely. All right. Rounding up the infield, who you got at shortstop, Chris?
This may not be a surprise because I've talked about him for a while, and it's Carson Williams. I do feel like, I will say that I think the hype is building on him at this point. He's moving a lot up people's boards. There's been a lot of hype on Twitter more recently, but I still think he's being a bit undervalued. He has really, really good power and speed. He's still one of the best players I've seen live this year. I've seen a lot of really good players, and Williams still stands out. He's an elite shortstop. He has a lot of power to all fields. He's very quick and a good athlete. And I think Williams is just going to be a dude. And we haven't really seen it fully materialize yet. But I will say, like, it's been a really solid season for him. And you kind of look under the hood a bit, and it's like, all right, like, I can see this breakout about to happen for somebody who just turned 20 years old. He has 18 home runs so far this year, 14 stolen bases. His OBP is 360, so it does play up in that format. You know, he strikes out a decent amount. Like, there's contact concerns, but you look, and I think that he plays above it ultimately because he's swinging a lot. And he's putting a lot of balls in play ultimately. And even with the aggressiveness, like, he just makes things happen. And this is kind of the athlete I want to bet on that has plus power, plus speed. Like, he's going to have a ton of doubles. He's going to get to 20 home run power. And even if he's like a below average hitter contact wise, which is, I mean, he's 71% contact. So I said the average in high is like 72.5 right now. So he's a little below average from just a pure contact standpoint. But yeah, I'm not particularly worried about that. I just think Williams plays the game at such a high level that he's eventually just going to take off. And I don't know. I just really believe in this profile, in the bat, and ultimately somebody that could be a really solid fantasy contributor that doesn't really get the respect he deserves. Like, I've been toying with how high to go on him. Like, when I'm looking at my, like, prospect rankings, like, I had him 27 when I updated in July, but, like, I'm looking at the range now and I'm like, okay, like, I don't see why I couldn't continue to move him up even higher just because, you know, there's been a lot of graduates. I don't love a lot of the guys in here anymore outside like the top seven or so. And so, yeah, he think he's one that's going to surprise people and just be better than most people expect.
Yeah, I was even guilty of undervaluing him as well. And the one thing that I, you know, obviously the thing that I still have concerns about is obviously the strikeout rate. But like you mentioned, Nick, the power speed is absolutely there. This is a potential 20 plus guy in the making. So if he can just hit 250 plus, like, he's going to be a very good fantasy asset for sure. I'm going with a guy that's a very different profile and a guy that, you know, and often a lot of these people you'll hear me talk about today, at least for me personally, are guys that I undervalued in my own rankings, whether it was, you know, earlier this year and FYPDs or whatever the heck it was. You know, these are guys that I'm starting to come around on myself. And one of these guys is Cole Young from the Seattle Mariners, a guy that was taken 21st overall in last year's draft. And a guy that I think I probably ranked, I have to pull it up, but if I had to guess, like, I think in the 30s for FYPD, and obviously that was way too low. I have him as a top 100 guy overall now. You know, first and foremost with Cole Young, obviously there's not.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Like, huge power there. And it's not even like, I don't even know if I'd say there's average power there, but there's a above average to plus hit tool, a phenomenal approach. Look at, you know, he's shown that type of approach ever since he set foot on a minor league diamond last year. He even has more walks than strikeouts so far, 82 to 81 in 122 games. That's as a teenager. He's just showing an approach very well advanced beyond his years, excuse me. And there's plus speed here as well, or above average to plus speed. Guy that could probably steal you 25 bags over a full season. And he's starting to tap into that power a little bit. A lot of extra base hits. He's got, quick math, what's that, 47 so far in 105 games, but only 9 home runs. You know, I think even if he can just get up to like that 12 to 15 range, and there's still a little bit of like physical projection left on this frame, not a ton, but if he can just add a little bit more bulk, a little bit more power, get up into that 15-ish homer range, go along with, you know, 270 plus average, a high OBP, 25 plus steals. This could be a guy that really just kind of sneaks up on some people. And he's, every time I update my rankings, it's like I bump him up 25, 30 more spots every time. And I think you could see him maybe push top 50 by the end of the season. and just another really good Seattle Mariners hitting prospect. And I think there's a few of them every year, and he's kind of jumped up this year. Obviously, he was off the radar. He was a first-round pick, but a guy that I undervalued, and I don't think I was alone in that. And I've come around. I just want to see him hit for a little bit more power, but this is a pretty solid profile and a pretty underrated profile at that. All right, infield's done. Heading to the outfield, we'll give you three outfielders and then two pitchers to round up the show. Who's your first outfielder, Chris?
He may not be undervalued for much longer. That's Owen Casey, who's just absolutely mashing the ball. He hits the ball incredibly hard. Like, you look at the best power in the minors, and he's up there. Like, you look at ninth percentile EVs, it's like him and Junior Caminero posting some just absolutely insane exit velocities. And Owen Casey was certainly a liability early in the year when you looked at like his numbers. They were pretty horrific. And you look at the overall line right now, and he still has a 31.5% K rate. Let's just look how that's trended down, because for the first month of the season, he was running a K rate over 50%, which is just nutty to think about. But slowly and surely, that's trended upward, as has the contact rates. So the Ks have gone down, obviously more contact, which is what you want to see. And since June 1st, his contact is near 71%, and the K rate is 27%. So, you know, that's a big difference in what we saw early in the year to now. And actually, he has a 300 batting average and a 400 OBP since June 1st, which is pretty impressive in of itself. So really like what Owen Casey brings to the table, just massive, massive power. I think he's a top 40 fantasy prospect, and I'm not sure he's in most top 100s, but the data kind of supports that. I mean, he was 20 years old until just recently, and he's been mashing in double A all year. And so I think people are coming around on him more, but I still think that there's a reasonable time to buy Owen Casey right now, who I'm really, really in on.
Yeah, Chris, you hit it right on the head. What I was going to say is, like, the reason why I was a little hesitant to go higher on him earlier in the year was that K rate. And you see that it's slowly come down over the year, as you mentioned, and as others have mentioned as well. And yeah, I don't think top 40 is too high at all. I have him right in that range as well. And I think this could be a guy that you see, maybe, you think top 20 by end of the year is unrealistic for him? I mean, like we mentioned, like, we have that nice like top tier, but then like the teens, there's a lot of wiggle room in there. Like, I think there's definitely a potential for him to get up in that range where we have guys like, I don't know, like Mason Winn, Adel Amador, you know, Curtis Mead, players like that. I think he could absolutely get in that range if he keeps doing what he's doing. I think absolutely we could see him there. And this is a guy that was taken 94th in the midseason prospect draft. Did you take him there? I feel like that was probably you.
I honestly don't remember. It's possible, but yeah, I mean, like I said, that's pretty low in comparison, and you know, maybe one of those guys where I was kind of like, you know, let's see where he falls to, just to kind of see. Some of the guys I was higher on, just let fall and see where it went.
Right. I just pulled up the spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Nope, that was Greg Hoogkamp that took Casey overall. Yeah. We took Jordan Beck for me and Dalton Rushing for you.
Oh, yeah. I was like, Rushing fell so far.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was 2 and 3 picks, respectively, before Greg took him at 94 overall. But, yeah, definitely like the Casey. I've always kind of liked Casey, too. That power has always been very intriguing, dating back to when he was a prep bat out of Canada coming into the draft. So, like Owen Casey a lot. A lot of intriguing Cubs prospects right now, for sure. All right, my first outfielder is going to be a guy that was recently brought up to AAA, and that's Joey Lopperfido. I love this profile. I'm kind of confused as to why he doesn't get more love. I mean, part of it is obviously because he's a little bit older. He's 24. He just turned 24 back in middle of May. You know, 7th-round picks. It wasn't like a highly rated guy coming out of the draft. So I think that combination of things has kept his value in check, even though he's been putting up really good numbers last year, .316, .408, .492, with 25 doubles, 12 home runs, and 32 steals, walk rate over 10%, K rate just over 20% in 108 games. That was between low A and high A. This year, between high A and double A, mostly double A, 84 of 92 games at double A, slashing .293, .383, .546. 20 home runs, 23 steals. One of only, I think, a handful of players so far to go 20-20 in the minor leagues. I mean, this is a guy that doesn't have one standout tool. Doesn't have like massive power or, you know, big speed or anything like that. But this is an above average power speed guy with, I think, at least an average hit tool. I don't think he's a standout hit you 280 plus, but maybe 260, 265 in that range with a solid OBP as well. He's always had a pretty good walk rate and showing good pitch selection. Doesn't really chase too much outside of the zone. And that power speed, he can do what he's doing this year, be like a 2020 guy long-term. And, you know, invest in Houston, great. You know, probably have a great lineup around him, great ballpark to hit in. But even if it's elsewhere, if he gets traded in the offseason or whatever, like, I still like the profile a good amount. And you know, he's not even an outfielder. He's played a little bit of infield this year as well, which kind of surprised me how much he'd played in the infield for Corpus Christi. He started 25 games in center, 13 in lefts, and 5 in right, but also 16 games each at first and second base. So maybe he, you know, moves around the field a little bit. Maybe he actually settles in at one of those two positions. We'll see. But the profile offensively is very good, and I think he's insanely underrated. Like, I think you could make a case for him being a top 50 fantasy prospect right now, and I don't think he's being valued anywhere even remotely close to that. So he's one of my favorite value buys right now for sure. All right, Chris, who's your next outfielder?
Well, we can stick with his teammate, and that is Jacob Melton. It's funny, I've seen Melton 6 times this year, and he's been bad every time I've seen him. So it's kind of interesting to even say this.
You're still going with him. That yep. speaks volumes.
Yeah, so I think that despite what I've seen, like, I think there's just so many tools to dream on here in the profile. I mean, it's easy power. He's a great runner. He's got an incredible frame. He's listed at 6'3", 208, but I honestly think he's a bit bigger than that. He plays a really good center field as well. It's really quick on jumps. The biggest knock is the hit tool. But then I look at the hit, like the contact data, he's running a 77% contact rate, which is like extremely good.
Yeah, it's good.
And I'm like, okay, like it's not lining up like with what we're seeing as far as he hits the ball hard, he's making contact. Like, why are the results not there? It's a legitimate question, I think, to wonder. And I will say, like, I've seen him struggle against breaking balls. Like, he's struggled with spin. And I do wonder, like, as he moves up and sees better breaking balls, like, is he going to struggle? But man, like, the tools are just there to kind of dream on. And you kind of look at the performance, and it's gotten better as the year has gone on. And so you look since the beginning of July, you know, he's hitting 272, 341, 509. The contact rate's up to 78% there. So going up even more. You look, and since the All-Star break, 304 average, 368 OBP, 557 slug. That's encouraging there. This frame's just easy to dream on when you have these kind of tools. And I've even been guilty of being pretty low on him. Just like, I'm trying to put aside my biases, because there's always guys you're going to see live and you're going to be like, okay, like that just didn't look good. And, you know, even though I feel like I've seen him a lot, like I've seen Melton as much as I have probably any prospect outside of a Boston prospect this year, because Asheville's been down here so much in Greenville. And it's still like, okay, 6 games is not a lot in the grand scheme of things. So, being willing to take what I've seen and melt it with what he's done the rest of the year. And Jacob Melton has been really, really good. I mean, 18 home runs, 40 stolen bases. He's really efficient on the base pass. I'm betting on him advancing and just being okay, especially with the contact skills and the plate approach. Like, he's walking a lot. He's pretty disciplined. So I'll bank on him coming around and being fine. So Jacob Melton is my guy, despite what I've seen with my eyes.
Yeah, I like Jacob Melton a lot, too. I had him top 100 on the dot in my last update, and he's kind of settled into that range for me. Yeah, definitely the pass speed upside is absolutely there. And it's funny, even after, you know, Houston trades away more prospects, you know, it's like they still have, you know, some intriguing guys. Like, the system's still going to be good. They'll have more pop-up guys later this year, next year. The system will be fine, so people might think it's down now, but there's still some intriguing players in the system for sure. And obviously, we just talked about two of them with Joey Loperfido and Jacob Melton. And you know what I just found out about Joey Loperfido? His real first name is Mario. Did you know that?
I did not.
His middle name is Joseph, so that's where the Joey comes from. But
man, yeah, Mario. He should go by Mario. That's even better.
I know, like the Super Mario nicknames. Like, there's a lot of fun there. But yeah, a couple of good Houston prospects there for sure. I will end the Houston stretch here for a little bit and go with Chase DeLauder. And you know, people that know me know I've been tweeting about and writing about Jacob DeLauder for a while. I've always been super high on him, and that has not changed one bit. You know, this year, since he, you know, had came back from injury, so he's only had 31 games this year. He's slashing 351, 409, 535. K rate is very low right now. Overall, he's only taking up 15% on the dot. And since he got up to high A, that's still only 15.7%. Not walking as much as he did in college, but not really worried about that right now. And same with the power. He's got 15 doubles, only two home runs, but 15 doubles in 31 games. That is like an insane, it's like an 80 doubles pace over a full year or close to it. So, you know, obviously there's a very fantasy friendly profile here. I think there's, you know, maybe an above average hit tool, you know, future projection there. I think there's plus power. I know there's plus power. Just, you know, game power is kind of lagging behind a little bit right now, but not worried whatsoever about that. And above average to plus speed as well. This is a good athlete. He's big. He's, you know, 6'4", 230, 240 in that range, but moves very well. He's a good athlete. I think this is a guy that could be 25 plus home runs down the road, 15 to 20 steals with a solid average in OBP as well. And kind of a guy that Cleveland kind of needs in that system, and they go a lot of, you know, the contact first guys. But I think this is a potential middle of the order type of guy that can give you good production across the board. And I think he's still being very undervalued. Like, I think he's top 50 right now, and I highly doubt you'll see him in top 50 on many or any other list right now. So Chase DeLauder, great value. Go out and get him. I think there's a lot of upside there across the board long term. Who's your next outfielder, Chris?
Well, by accident, I had another Astro. It seems like I've talked nonstop about them, and I didn't even mean to do that. But here we are with another one, and it's Luis Baez, outfielder, 19 years old. He's now in single A, where after he dominated the complex, like he put up some gaudy exit velocity numbers, hit 7 home runs and 76 plate appearances. And it's kind of interesting because since he has been promoted to single A, the power seemingly disappeared. He has just one home run, but he's still slashing 283, 365, 414. He's got a really big power stroke, hits a lot of fly balls and a lot of fly balls that leave the park. And you can ultimately see where the problem is right now. It's a 3% home run to fly ball rate, which is just absurd, especially for somebody with that kind of power. He makes a ton of contact, which is obviously something I want to see when you pair that with power. And he's just got a frame that's like, okay, like I really like this a lot. I can see him just really blossoming and taking off. So there's a lot of Luis Baez out there. So this is the Astros Luis Baez, make sure, because there's like, Lord knows how many in the, like if you're playing 12 on Fantrax, yeah, there's so many in the Fantrax player pool. And so like, I know this because when I pull player IDs on my ranking sheet, I always get the wrong one somehow. But this is Luis Baez of the Astros, who I think is underrated, has big power, good plate skills, and good contact as well. 19 years old. I really love this profile, and I think it's one that's just going to continue to blossom and take off. So I'll take Luis Baez in a lot of places. I think he's top 100 guy, and he's not being valued as such.
Let's see. I'm pulling up to see how many Luis Baezes there are. Oh, there's only two?
No way.
It's only showing this one and one from Minnesota.
Interesting. I had figured there had to be a ton more.
There must be more. But, yeah, see? Another good Houston Astros prospect. And, yeah, the system's fine. Like, it's going to be fine. It might be down overall. But Baez is another great target there. Where do I have Baez? I feel like I've undervalued him as well. I currently have him 186. I probably am a little bit too low on him. I got to reevaluate that here, you know, over the next few days before, or at least before my next update in the next week or so. But my last outfielder here, I'm going up to Seattle. I'm going to Lazaro Montes, who was recently promoted to low A from the complex level. And I, you know, so far in complex level, 270, 386, 568, 6 extra base hits, 2 home runs in 9 games, 6 walks to 10 Ks. And this is after he hit very well in the complex level as well, 282, 452, 555, with 33 walks to 37 Ks, 10 doubles, 6 home runs. I mean, if you've watched any, you know, second of Lazaro Montes footage from a game or batting practice, whatever, Like, you know, there's massive power. He's a, built like a tank. He's listed at 6'3", 210. Nope, not a chance. He's, if I had to guess, like, what do you think Lazaro Montes is now, Chris? Like, I think he's more like 6'5", 240 or something like that.
That's
like,
probably fair.
He's not 6'3", 210. This guy, and it's not like a bad frame. Like, it's just a very strong, like, Yordan Alvarez-looking frame that he has now. And the power, the swing is geared for power. He gets good natural loft. He can really drive the ball in the air consistently. And, you know, and we knew that. We knew there was going to be big power in the profile. That's not a surprise. But I think what it kind of has been better than advertised so far, even last year when he's in the DSL, is he's a bit of a better pure hitter than I think people thought he would be. I mean, he's improved the walk rate this year, cut the K rate a good amount. And this as, again, still only 18 years old, wanting to be 19 till after the season's over. He's not going to be a speed guy at all. Obviously, he's big and doesn't run at all. But I think you'd be looking at a 30-plus homer bat that gives you a good OBP as well. He's always been a high walk rate guy. And I think the contact skills are coming around to the point where maybe he's a, you know, 250, 260 hitter, somewhere in that range. So I think he's a middle of the order bat in the making for Seattle and a guy that's just going to keep flying up rankings. And I think he's top 100 right now, but I don't think he gets valued as such. And maybe if he keeps this up in low A, like what he's doing now, maybe he's a guy that's pushing my top 50 by end of the season. We got another month or so. It's maybe not top 50, but could be top 50 early on next year. And the upside is absolutely there for it. Love the power. Love the improvements he's made. So Lazaro Montes is my third outfielder. That wraps up the hitters. We know we got two pitchers each to round up the show. Chris, who you got?
So my first one is Jackson Jobe. And he's kind of been on like a wild swing of like values, I guess you'd say, since he's been drafted third overall several years ago. And he's been injured, been down, but he's been really good. The Arsenal's looked really sharp. I think this is a top five stuff of any prospect in the minors. So I guess from a pure stuff standpoint, I'd say Jackson Jobe's top five. And I know some like opinions that I really respect say he's even higher than that from just a pure stuff standpoint. You know, his fastball's been 96 to 98 all year. He's still on a cutter, he's still on a slider, curve, like even a change, man. He's throwing so many pitches. He was just a fastball slider guy, but he's showing a good feel for all of them. He's hit a couple bumps in the road since moving to high A. He's had a really good start, and he's had a couple bad ones, but even in the bad ones where he's allowed, you know, four earned runs over five and then three earned runs over five, he had nine Ks and eight Ks, and he's only walked one batter since moving up to high A. So you love to see those metrics. You love to see him improving overall from a standpoint of command. And this is somebody that played shortstop for a long time and didn't start pitching until his senior year of high school. So, yeah, of course he's going to have to learn to be a pitcher. But the stuff is just ridiculously good. He's running a 30.7% K-minus BB rate, which is absurd. Like, that's one of the best in all the minors. A 34% CSW rate, 17.2% swinging strike rate. Jobe's stuff just really, really nasty. And it's one where I think he's going to eventually just blossom and be one of the best pitching prospects in baseball. But yet nobody kind of sees him in that range at all. And so I think you can go out and get him pretty affordably in comparison to where I think his value actually is.
Yeah. Absolutely agree that, you know, top five stuff in all of baseball. And I think, you know, honestly, with how much, and that's something we were talking about before the show started, but with how much the pitching prospect ranking kind of fall off, like obviously, you know, you got Skeens, you got Tiedemann, you got, you know, Cade Horton, but I think he's like in that same tier. And I don't know if, I think maybe Horton and Tink are slight tier ahead, but if you want to call that tier two, then like, I think he's right in tier three, without question. Look at how much these fall off. And there's a big cluster of guys like him and, you know, Painter's down there for now. Obviously he would be higher, but with the injury concern, you know, guys like Chase Hampton, you know, Chase Petty for me, Drew Thorpe, you know, you can throw Noah Schultz in there. Obviously AJ Smith-Shawver still counts as, he hasn't graduated, has he, Smith-Shawver?
Nope.
Not yet, right? No, okay, I didn't think so. But yeah, this is like a huge cluster of names there, and I think Jackson Jobe is absolutely in there. So, I mean, if you wanted to tell me that he's a top five pitcher prospect right now, I mean, behind like Skeens, Tiedemann, Horton, and Hence, I would have no issue with that whatsoever. I think he's definitely in that conversation for sure. Hopefully I get to see some live looks at him next year, because Detroit's double-A team, Erie, comes over here pretty frequently. So hopefully I'll get to see some live looks. And maybe he's out in the AFL. Who knows? That wouldn't surprise me. But I'm going over to the San Diego Padres with Robbie Snelling, a guy that just had a phenomenal first professional year in 17 starts. 14 of those, have been one earned run or less. Overall, 1.79 ERA in 80 and a third innings, 1.06 WHIP, 92 Ks to just 21 walks. This is a pretty decent frame for a lefty frame, 6'3", 210. Kind of looks that as well. Very good fastball slider fastball curveball combination. I think both of those are plus. Like the curveball, he absolutely misses bats a ton with that. And the changeup it lags behind. It's definitely far behind as a third pitch, but I think he's shown enough that this could be a serviceable changeup just to offset against right-handed batters and just enough to keep them off the fastball curveball combination. And he's very advanced for his age as well. This is above average command and control profile. See that he has the 21 walks in 80 and a third inning. So now let's do the math here. For the walk rate is 6.6%. That's very good, obviously. And he did a lot of this, two-thirds of his season so far was in Lake Elsinore in the California League, which is one of the most hitter-friendly leagues in all of the minor leagues. So very impressed with him. Every time, took another five innings, one run, five innings, no runs from him every time out. So I like Robbie Snelling a lot, and I think the perceived value is still well behind. I think he's top 100 right now and moving up quick. And he easily could be in that tier I just mentioned by the end of the season for sure. All right, Chris, round it out with your last player. And before you do, I just realized when you were talking about how many Houston Astros guys you have on the list, I just realized you don't have any National League guys on the list. You went entirely American, obviously not by design, but just all American League guys.
That is weird.
Baltimore, Texas, Houston, Tampa. Oh no, you had Owen Casey. Never mind. You snuck one National League guy in there, but all AL guys besides that.
Yeah, that's wild. Did not realize that, but
just happened that way.
We're wrapping up with a AL guy as well, and that is David Festa, who I really, really like and have liked for a while. The surface numbers aren't great. If you watched him pitch in the Futures game, you would see why I really like David Festa. The stuff is just absolutely incredible there with him. And honestly, since the Futures game, he's been rather good. He's had 6 starts since then. And only one of them has he allowed. So 4 of them have been scoreless. One of them is 1 earned. And he had 1 stinker, which was 4 earned. But he still has looked pretty darn good over that time. The stuff, really good with Festa. I'm actually surprised that things haven't fully turned around for him yet, because he's been running FIPs and XFIPs way lower than his ERA all year. Seems like a really big strain of bad luck here with Festa. But you look and the numbers have been really ticking up since we saw him in the Futures game, which we saw his fastball up to 97, 98, which was encouraging to see. The slider had some really good shape on it. The changeup had up to 16 inches of fade. Just really good arsenal all around. He made some hitters look pretty silly. Some really good hitters, too, in the Futures game. So I still think Festa's a buy. Even though you look in the numbers, probably don't suggest that. He has a FIP below 4. But the ERA of 4.56 doesn't scream buy. The WHIP of 1.43 doesn't scream by any means. But 30% K rate, the walk rate of 10%, it can be a little bit concerning. He has starts where he's walking too many guys. But I will say the walks have trended downward a bit. He had a lot of bad walk outings early in the year. I'm still looking to buy in on Festa. I think you can do so at a pretty affordable cost.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to find any buy. Hey, the stats aren't great. All right, well, look further than that. And yeah, I think those often opens a pretty good buying opportunity. These guys, people look at the surface stats, and maybe they'll be willing to trade them off for lower than they probably should. So, yeah, definitely a great one to wrap up there for you with David Festa. I will go back to the National League. I was a little more NL-friendly with my selections here, but I'll go with a guy I saw live earlier in the year. I think it was about 2 months ago, mid-June or so. That's Christian Scott in the Mets organization here. A guy that's a Chris Bryant doppelganger for sure. A good frame, a starter's frame, 6'4", 215, 220. You know, very good pitch mix here. Four pitch mix, fastball, curveball, slider, changeup. And fastball, slider are the two most used pitches. He was about 93, 94 in the start, hit 95 a handful of times. Kept that velocity throughout the outing as well. Didn't go super deep. He only went 3 2/3 in that outing, as I was pulling up my notes here. You know, four hits, two runs, one walk, and four Ks. So the overall line didn't really stand out. But yeah, I was impressed. Again, I think this is an above-average fastball here. He held the velocity. You know, solid run on that pitch as well. Good riding action up in the zone. Yeah, the slider was his best off-speed pitch. It's mid-80s. I think it's above average, maybe even plus offering. That was like the one he'd really go to when he needed the strikeout. Changeup, mid-80s, upper 70s curveball. You know, they weren't like super impressive, but I think they were fine. And, you know, serviceable third and fourth offerings. You know, had good movement on them at times. I think the changeup could be an average offering. And I think there's average or above average command and control. He was hitting the spots overall. I mean, he wasn't hit hard in those four hits. Like, it wasn't like he was lit up. Like, it was just kind of like a dink and dunk here, a blooper there. But, you know, commanded his arsenal very well. And he only has 12 walks on the season in, was 83 innings, 99 strikeouts. Like, he can miss bats. He can limit the walks. He's a bit older. Like, this is another profile that, you know, is a textbook undervalued profile. He's a little bit older. He's just turned 24 back in mid-June. So I probably saw him right around his birthday, actually. But, you know, a little bit older. I got to go back and look at my notes, see what date that was. But, yeah, a little bit older and a guy that doesn't have, like, that wow profile. But I think this is a, you know, this guy just screams like a solid mid-rotation arm and a guy that we could probably see next year. So I'm trying to go and get Scott wherever I can because the perceived value is still well behind the actual value. But that's going to wrap us up. We just talked 20 players that are undervalued that you should be going out and targeting in Dynasty Leagues, you know, maybe via trade if your deadline hasn't come up yet, or maybe not. If so, if the offseason, go and get these guys. They're all undervalued, but maybe not for long. But thank you to all listeners for tuning in again this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Make sure to check out both of our personal platforms, DynastyDugout.com and ToolshedFantasy.com for more work from each of us. And join us again next time. But until then, everyone take care.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.